out today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 10. John's Gospel, chapter 10, a well-familiar portion of Scripture. While you're turning there, I'd like to say, on behalf of the family, again, we appreciated your prayers so much, your concern, your phone calls, the cards, the food. You don't know what it meant to us. We ask you to continue to pray for us. God has given us the peace that we needed and the strength. I didn't think that Mom got that low that I'd be able to be here today. But God has been with us, and we thank you for your prayers. John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm sure the Lord will bless the reading of his word to each and every one of our hearts this morning. You can hardly read that portion of Scripture without thinking on Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, truer words were never spoken than that. I shall not want. And Brother Bernard dwelt on that on Tuesday evening in Philippians 4:19, showing that he will meet our every need. But you know, if someone else was our shepherd, they could fail. I think we'll all agree with that. That men are, we are failing creatures. And I was going to quote that chorus that Brother Gerald gave out this morning, that Jesus can never fail. No, no, no. Someone else was our shepherd, they could make an error. And you know, we see that all around us, that people make mistakes. If someone else is our shepherd, they could forget to meet our needs. They might have promised, but could forget. And we are people who forget. I even forget from day to day. It's amazing. I'm still relatively young. And yet, we forget. If someone else is our shepherd, you know what? They could change their mind. They could just decide, well, I'm just not going to meet their need any longer. Someone else was our shepherd. They could die and not be able to meet our need. But beloved, this morning we're here to talk about the good shepherd who could never fail because his resources are infinite. We're here this morning to talk about the good shepherd who cannot make a mistake, never make an error. Because he's perfect in wisdom. This morning we want to talk about that good shepherd who will never change his mind. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll be the same today as he was yesterday. He'll be the same tomorrow as he is today. We want to talk about that good shepherd who cannot die, Whoever lives in the power of an endless life. Saints, today, why not trust Him? Why not leave our worries and wants behind and trust the good shepherd? The shepherd carries the meaning of to watch. You know, as I thought about that, I thought about the hymn that sometimes sing, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches over me. That's a good shepherd. Whoever has His heart on every one of us. It also has the meaning as to God, to protect. If we have such a shepherd this morning, why should we have a careful being? Since such a God is mine and yours. The hymn writer says He watches o'er us night and day and tells us, Thou art mine. That's the good shepherd we want to look a bit this morning about. You know, Jesus uses the figure of the good shepherd to make a distinction between those false shepherds down through the Old Testament. And there He also wants to stress His voluntary sacrifice for His people. Many shepherds had failed back in the Old Testament. All the judges, the kings, the prophets, the priests, they had failed. They had led God's people in the wrong direction. Now He says, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the one who will never, ever fail you. Will always guard you, protect you, and keep you in the right place. I said many shepherds failed in the Old Testament. And Isaiah 56 and 9, he writes, His watchmen are blind. They are ignorant, he says. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, and loving to slumber. You turn on the television today, and the so-called watchmen or shepherds or pastors, so-called, they seem to be blind, don't they? They seem sort of to be ignorant, like the prophet is saying here, of the word of God. And they're leading the flock the wrong way. He says they're just like a dumb dog. They won't even bark. They won't even speak about anything that's wrong or evil. Thank God this morning for an assembly like this. And we should thank God every day for an assembly like this who stand up for the truth of God's word and who will not compromise. And brethren, I ask you to continue never give in to the world system. Says they are shepherds that cannot understand. Says they look to their own way. Everyone for his own gain. And we see that all around us today. But not the good shepherd. He says, this good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The story of the cross is not just a story of what men did to the Lord Jesus, although that's there and made plain. But beloved, this morning I want to remind us, the story of the cross is not what men did to Him, but what He did for you and me. That's the story we want to look at this morning of the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. You know, back there in Palestine, if the shepherd was to die, it meant disaster for the sheep because they would have no one to care for them. Ah, but what a difference. When our good shepherd died, it didn't mean disaster for us. It meant life eternal. For me, aren't you glad that He came and gave His life for me and for you? So the next two Sundays, Lord willing, we're going to look this Sunday and next Sunday at the Good Shepherd. And we're going to divide it up into different sections. This morning, we're going to look at the Good Shepherd who seeks the sheep. Then we want to look at the Good Shepherd who lays down His life for the sheep. And I don't know if we'll get much further than that. If we do, then we'll look at the good shepherd who gives his life to the sheep. And Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to look at the good shepherd who knows his sheep. We're going to look at the good shepherd who keeps his sheep. And we look at the good shepherd who provides for his sheep. and the good shepherd who one day will enfold the sheep and take us forever to be with him. Place where we're all longing to go. First, the good shepherd who gives his life, who seeks the sheep. The good shepherd who seeks the sheep. And what words do we go back to is Luke 15. I'm sure your mind went there. What man of you having 100 sheep? If he lose one. It says, doesn't he go out and seek it until he find it? This good shepherd will never give up. He seeks the sheep. Now as you read that story there in Luke 15, it's really one parable, three connecting parts. First we get the story of a lost sheep. Then the lost coin. Then the lost son. All three things are lost. But each time, everything is found. And it's rejoicing. As I was looking at that and studying that in the past weeks, I noticed that the sheep was innocently lost. The sheep just wandered away from the fold innocently and was lost. Then I noticed that the coin that was carelessly lost, she should have been more careful in taking care of that one of those pieces of silver. But then we come to the lost son. He's not innocently lost. And he's not even carelessly lost. He's willfully lost. And you see the progression, don't you? 1 out of 100 lost. Then you come, it's 1 out of 10 who's carelessly lost. You see, it's not many innocently lost. It's not as many carelessly lost. But when we come to the son who's willfully lost, it's 1 out of 2. 50% who are willfully rejecting Christ as the Savior. Friends, is it one here today like that? Is it one here today who is saying no to the claims of Christ? Oh, I pray today that you would no longer, that as we look at this good shepherd, you'll fall in love with him today. Oh, I pray that you won't even leave the building today until you know. Like the psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd. But what condition did the shepherd find the sheep? As he's seeking the sheep, how did he find them? First, I want to suggest this morning he found them going astray. And every one of us this morning, that's the way he found us. Astray. And in Psalm 119, and that last verse, that longest chapter in the Bible, the 176th verse, the psalmist says this, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Lost sheep never find their own way back home. But oh, the shepherd seeks the sheep. And thus the psalmist, having admitted his personal sin, his final prayer is, seek thy servant, O God. And even as Christians, as we get away from the Lord, I think it should be our prayer this morning, seek thy servant. And we see him depending upon the grace of God. Isaiah 53:6 says this, all we like sheep, we're just like sheep, he says, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But he says, the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. We're like sheep to illustrate the desperate condition that we find ourselves in. If you're here today without Christ. You know what? A sheep, I understand, is almost blind. He barely can see. He says that just like you are. If you're here today, you're just like that sheep. You're spiritually blind. You hardly can see today because Satan has blinded your eyes. And we have the tendency to go astray. I pray again today, you'll see that good shepherd giving his life for the sheep. And you know, as he seeks that sheep and he finds that sheep maybe out in the cold, maybe putting his life in danger, that sheep will never know how much it cost that shepherd to find him. And beloved, this morning, you as Christians, we shall never know throughout eternity what it cost our Savior to find us. And the hymn writer put it like this, none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night. The Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost. Me and you, we'll never know. Luke 19 and 10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the chief task of our Savior. To seek. The seeking shepherd. To seek and to save us. You know, it should be our chief task, I think, as well. To seek the lost. And to tell them of a Savior. Isaiah 50 and 6 says this, my people have been lost sheep. The shepherds have caused them to go astray. And as I said, you know, we turn on the television and we can see that today. How the so-called shepherds have led the people away. Even those who know the Lord as Savior have led them in the wrong direction. Sad to say. Oh, I trust. But have the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And in Matthew 9, you can hear him speaking in verse 36. It says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Because they were scattered abroad, says as sheep, having no shepherd. Oh, today, saints, I trust we'd have that compassion that the Lord Jesus had. But see the lost world out there without a shepherd, as it were. Dying in their sin. Oh, that we would shed the tears like he shed. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would have gathered you. As a hen gathered her chicks, but you wouldn't. Oh, I trust we'll have the compassion of the Savior. And go out and try to win them and seek them for him. The hymn writer put it like this. Let me look on the crowd as my Savior did. Till my eyes with tears grow dim. Let me view with pity the wandering sheep. And love them. For the love of him. I trust God will lay that burden on our hearts today. To win those sheep. But he not only finds the sheep gone astray. He finds the sheep lost. They can't find their way back home. And he finds them in that lost condition. That's exactly how he found me and you. We were lost. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan has blinded their eyes. The world is so controlled by Satan that he sort of shield, puts a veil over their eyes that they might not understand the glorious gospel. The unregenerate man is under satanic control and is therefore not able to evaluate the truth of God. We must tell them. We must tell them. On their own, they cannot see it. But we must, as children of God, tell them. The Spirit of God writing through Ezekiel 33 says, the prophet Ezekiel says, if the watchman or the shepherd see the sword come, just listen, and blow not the trumpets, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. And then listen, but, he says, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. What a challenge to me and you today. The prophet's ministry is likened to the watchman, to the shepherd, observing the danger and not warning the enemy. In like manner, you and I, we see the danger that's awaiting those lost sheep out there. And we're not warning. And that's what he says. Their blood I'll require at your hand. God says, Ezekiel, if you don't want them, one day I'll hold you accountable for spiritual manslaughter. That's a serious charge. Beloved, are we warning them? Ezekiel was to be responsible for the house of Israel. To warn them. Saint, this morning, who has God laid upon your heart to warn? We have to answer this morning to Him. It could be our relatives. Have we spoken to every relative of ours who does not know the Lord as Savior and warned them of the coming judgment? He says, if not, they'll hold us responsible that day. How about those that we work with every day? How about our neighbors just looking our road around us? Have we warned them? Have we ever told them? You say, well, they know, but we still need to warn them. How about our friends? All of us have friends today. Have we warned them of the coming judgment? It's a solemn responsibility. And you know we do ourselves harm if we don't perform it. He finds the sheep gone astray. He finds the sheep lost. He finds the sheep helpless. They're down in the pit. They can't get out by themselves. It's no way. How did the Savior find you and me today? He found us helpless. We were in the pit of sin, and it's no way we could take ourselves out, but thank God He came and has lifted us up out of that pit of sin and set our feet on the rock, Christ Jesus today. We thank God today that He came. But you know, many times that we're helpless, even as Christians, we find ourselves helpless to do what's right. And Paul says, for the good that I would, I do not. Says, what I want to do as good, I find myself not doing it. Says, then the evil which I don't want to do, Paul says, I find myself doing that. And Paul realizes in himself, he can't do anything to get himself out of that mess. But then later on, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Finds the sheep astray. He finds the sheep lost, helpless. But finally finds the sheep in danger. In danger of what? Finds the sheep in danger of the storm. Christian, this morning, the sheep who are lost are in danger of a storm. That's the burst on this Christ-rejected man. Paul says in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. God's attitude towards men's sin is not one of tolerance. God will not continue to tolerate man's sin. God hates man's sin, it's a fact. He says God's wrath is against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. You say, well, what's the difference between ungodliness and unrighteousness? I think ungodliness is a sin against God's very being of who He is. Unrighteousness is a sin against the will of God. Ungodliness against the very being of God. But God says He'll judge both of them. You see, man is both a religious sinner. He's ungodly. And he's a moral sinner. He's unrighteous. And God's wrath, as I said, is revealed against both of them. And here we have the question. Why does man need the Lord? We have the answer to it. Because they're lost without Him. That's why they need the Savior. Because they're lost without Him and in danger of the storm. The scripture says God eventually will turn them over to an unclean mind, reprobate mind, to vile affections. And then sometimes God comes in like he did in the flood with a stronger demon in judgment. And he destroyed the whole world there in the flood. And in Sodom and Gomorrah and with Korah and Dathan and Abiram opened up the ground and swallowed them up. But the greatest day God will reveal his judgment one day will be when he cast the person who's rejected Christ into hell forever. Friend, if you don't know him here today, I wouldn't leave that seat this morning till I knew this good shepherd. He finds them in danger. Danger of the storm. But not only in danger of the storm, he finds them in danger of the lion. Says, that is the devil who lies in wait to blind, to rob, and to take captive lost souls. Says, the devil is our adversary as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Comes in different poses, doesn't he? Comes like a lion. Comes like a snake. Deceitful, isn't he? And he comes like an angel of light. And deceives in the spiritual realm. And he's doing a good job at that today. Many filling the churches today, and they're not saved. As an angel of light, he's doing a pretty good job at it. But we need to warn them. We need to warn them. We see them in danger of a storm, in danger of a lion, and finally we see them in danger of the wolf. If the sheep is left out there, the wolf will get them. And I liken that as the teacher of false doctrine. The false prophet. And the Lord Jesus said himself, beware. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly says they are ravening wolves. They're just like a wolf, says they come just like a sheep, but they act like a wolf. You'll say, well, Brother Freddie, how could the majority be wrong? I mean, so many people are going that way. Are going that so-called wrong way. How could so many be wrong and just a few right? You know, it was that same way in the Old Testament. You remember Elijah who stood in Mount Carmel? 450 false prophets, just him alone. And he said, if Baal be Baal, serve him. But if God be God, serve him. You know the story well. It's not the majority. It's those who are really, truly God says, and the Revelation describes this false prophet just like that, a sheep and wolf clothing. Listen to what it says. It says, and this false beast has horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. He looks just like a lamb, the false beast prophet, but he talks like a dragon. We must be careful. We must be careful. Mr. Spurgeon once said that these false prophets water down the truth until there's not enough left to make soup for a sick grasshopper. They are unbelievers. That's really what they are. They're not real. They are unbelievers, and they prey on the immature, said the saint. The unstable and the gullible. May God save them. Just briefly, we have just a few minutes. We'll look at, he laid down his life for the sheep. Here we want to look at the solicitude or his concern or his love for the sheep. I used an S to just solicitude to get the S, but I want to be thinking of his love, his concern for the sheep. It says, I drew them with cords of a man. With bands of love in Hosea, the Lord talking about his people. And yet they didn't want to come. You see, God did not deal with Israel according to their sin. He dealt with them according to his love. Saints, this morning, I'm so glad he didn't deal with me according to my sin, because that would have been doomed for him. I thank him this morning that he's dealt with me and you according to his love. Aren't you glad of that? If not, we'd have been lost forever. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I love thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. You see, it was God's love for Israel, not their love for him. They didn't love him. They turned their back on him. And it was God's love for us, not our love for him. Why he came. John says in his epistle, chapter 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. We didn't love him. We were his enemies. We did everything against him. But he sent his son to die for us. He loved us. We see the solicitude of his love. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself. What love? What love? Christ's love for the bride, for the sheep, is a supreme love, saints. No love, we said last Sunday, like his at the remembrance meeting. Matchless it is. A supreme love. God's love is a sacrificing love. He gave his son. God's love was a self-forgetting love. The Lord Jesus came and left everything for me. I tell you, love like this would cause us to serve him back, to live more holy a life for him. It's only one life, isn't it? Soon to be gone. Only what's done for him will last. The sacrifice of his love. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for man. Christian, that's why he came. Lost if you're here today without Christ. That's why he came. That he might give his life. He laid down his life for me and you. Ransom signifies a loosing. Debt is a free. And this morning he paid that debt that he didn't owe. He paid that debt that we couldn't pay. And loosed us from our sin. And it set us free. What a sin. What a sin today we have. The sacrifice of his love. Paul says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Didn't send anyone else. There was no one else could do it. Says he loved me and gave himself. Writing to the Corinthian believers, he says, oh, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He didn't die as a martyr. He didn't die for his own sin, but for our sin. How does the scripture say he would die? Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. I quote one more verse and we'll close. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. Saints, I believe here Paul paints a picture of the most generous person ever come into this world. And I understand that that word grace means generous here. Or generosity. It says for our saints, he became poor. I asked this morning, how poor did he become? I'll tell you, he became poor at Bethlehem. For he came into a borrowed home, and that was just for the animals, a stable. Where he had a borrowed crib, and that was where they put the food for the animals to feed on. Needed a penny, it was borrowed. He needed a donkey, he had to borrow it. He needed a lunch, he had to borrow it. Someone has said, from a borrowed womb to a borrowed tomb. Everything he had borrowed. He gave his all, not only at Bethlehem when he came, but he gave his all there at Calvary. That's where he became poor. That's where he was left alone for my sin and your sin. All that you and I might be eternally rich this morning with his salvation. If you're here and don't know him today, I trust you'll come to know him. One who's given everything that you might spend eternity with him and know his riches and share with him in his riches and his glory.
Yeah.
I trust you will do it today for his name. Father, we're so thankful this morning that we could say with the psalmist David, the Lord is my shepherd. But Father, it might be one or more in here this morning who cannot say that. We pray that before they leave here today, they will be able to say with the psalmist and with us this morning, yes, he is my shepherd. And know that joy of sins forgiven. Pray your partners with your blessing as we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, class. You've been so attentive, and we appreciate that. Thank you for coming. We realize you could have been somewhere else this morning, but you came, and we pray that the Word of God has been a blessing to you. Next Sunday, we'll pick up here from where we left off. God bless you.